Okay, with Hans's words ringing in our ears, let me introduce Aarti Mehra to you. She is the former mayor of New Delhi. So please welcome Aarti Mehra.
Thank you very much. Indeed, it's a great honor for me to be at the McGill Platform for Health and Economic Convergence, which is definitely a unique initiative to build synergy among business, market, government, and civil societies in addressing the challenges. For us especially, the policy makers, it's very useful to attend and to be a part of the think tank where the world's best minds, including Nobel laureates, leading research universities, formed a foundation to inspire business for health, designed to lead changes and innovative that stimulate our thinking on public policies. Before I continue with my speech, I would like to honor the energy and this energy behind this remarkable effort, Laureate and Sir Michael Marmot, in a traditional Indian way. Excuse me. Distinguished guests, sisters and brothers, we are in the midst of a massive transformation, a comprehensive reframing in how the global community engages with the future of the world. Although world population is still growing by some 80 million a year and looks set to grow another 2.5 billion by 2050. It is not too late to slow it down by peaceful means. According to the UN population projections, revised in 2006, the world population will be 7.8 billion by mid-century. Global warming's projection impact on humans, rising sea levels, increased coastal flooding, and erosion, polluted groundwater supplies. Higher average temperature reduces coastal cropland and living space. More destructive and more frequent hazardous weather is likely. A warming climate also threatens public life, public health. It produces longer, more intense heat waves, changing rain and snow patterns significantly increase the population of regions under extreme water stress. Warming and population growth together can produce shortages that lead to the exploitation of sensitive areas like hillside, floodplains, coastal areas, and wetlands. These conditions may also produce large number of international environmental refugees, and their migration in turn challenges existing health, social, economic, and political structure. Delhi, the capital city of India, is at threshold. Population has been growing very rapidly. The second master plan of Delhi had estimated the population in 2001 at 12 million. It has already crossed 16 million mark and may reach 23 million by 2021. The spurt of population is not due to natural cause alone. About 0.6 million people migrate to Delhi every year from rural areas in search of jobs and hence a better standard of living. These people, they lack financial resources and therefore start living in as squatters on public as well as private land, doing all kind of very menial jobs. Over a number of years, such persons living in unauthorized and squattered colonies has swelled to as many as 4 million. With this spurt comes the challenge of providing adequate and affordable civic amenities, particularly potable water, sanitation, solid waste disposal, transportation, healthcare, education, and electricity, and to control the level of air and water pollution so that high quality of urban life can be attained, that too within a reasonable time period. The urban challenge is to attain this goal, particularly with respect to the urban poor and other disadvantaged segment of our people. Many factors combine together to affect health of individuals and communities. Whether people are healthy or not is determined by their circumstances and environment. With rapid urbanization, factors such as where we live and our state of our environment all have considerable impact on health. To shape a future of health and wealth for all is a growing metropolis requires understanding the underlying determinants of health and identifying and implementing appropriate, number one, the strategies, number two, the partnerships to address these determinants. Recently, our union government has implemented a master plan for Delhi, which will be in force up to 2021. It envisages making Delhi a global metropolis and a world-class city where all the people would be engaged in productive work with the better quality of life, living in a sustainable environment. This will, amongst other things, necessitate planning and action to meet the challenge of population growth and in-migration into Delhi. Provision of adequate housing, particularly for the weaker sections of the society. Addressing the problems of small enterprises, particularly in the organized informal sector. Dealing with the issues of slums, upgradation of old and dilapidated areas of the city, provision of adequate infrastructure services, conservation of the environment, preservation of the Delhi's heritage, and blending it with the new and complex modern pattern of development. And doing all this within a framework of sustainable development, public, private, and community participation, and a spirit of ownership and a sense of belonging amongst its citizens. We are indeed proud of the fact that we have the world's largest bus fleet run on clean fuel and rapidly expanding metro network. Use of the renewable energy and large building and for townships, and in particular for the new facilities to be created for 2010 Commonwealth Games, CNG has certainly made an impact on population and health of the residents. Disposal of solid waste is now becoming an acute problem in major cities, especially metropolis like Delhi. Delhi is generating over 7,000 metric tons of solid waste daily. At this pace, increase in population and commercialization, generation of garbage will go up to more than 14,000 metric tons per day by the year 2024. For the better standard of living and healthy tomorrow, we must focus our attention on disposal of the garbage we generate. The local governance authority, I myself as a mayor of the city in the Municipal Corporation of Delhi, has recently formulated a comprehensive master plan for the management of solid waste in Delhi to work out a holistic approach to make Delhi a worthy, livable, clean, eco-friendly and world-class city. The silent feature envisaged in the plan are segregation at the source, door-to-door collection of garbage, decentralized local-level composting at individual and community level to avoid transportation, introduction of sweeping of main roads by mechanical sweepers, processing of waste through cost-effective, innovative technologies to suit the local waste quality, processing of construction and demolition waste, proper management of horticulture waste, procurement and upgradation of various machines, and massive awareness program related to handling and disposal of solid waste and its concern with the environment. The treatment of waste to convert it into energy is also more advantageous in terms of environment. We are already in process of installing two such plants in Delhi, which will consume around 3,200 metric ton of municipal solid waste and generate approximately 32 megawatts of electricity with the private sector partnership. Delhi is a pulse of Indian democracy. And associated with this is a fast-changing physical as well as social environment. We are proud of the fact that Delhi is the greenest capital of the world. However, evidence indicates specific pathways through which this urbanization can have negative implications for public health. The Delhi government has taken measures to mitigate adverse impact, but challenges remain. I shall highlight some of these. Urban housing problem, example, water and sanitation, city environment and non-communicable diseases, green transport, communicable diseases, example, containing the spread of H1N1, road trauma, example, helmet law, psychosocial disorder, especially police cell for women suffering from increasing domestic violence, sustainable urban development, metro to take the pressure off road transport, and encouraging the NCR to disperse corporate development, urban wastages, malaria, dengue, to inadequate water and drainage, health services, access to adequate quality and affordable services, including for the large and poor migrant population, example, the construction workers. The importance of public-private partnership needs a mention. The private sector, being a key engine of economic growth, must therefore be a key partner in linking this wealth to health as well. Within the health sector, example, private hospitals and clinics must commit to attending to the poor as well as without fees. Pharmaceutical companies must commit to pricing medicine so that poor can afford them. Within their own business, the private sector must commit to both the health of their employees as well as improving their immediate environment. Most importantly, the private sector needs to commitment to protecting the overall physical environment, empowering communities, and to accountability towards equitable and sustainable development. For example, Cipla Pharmaceutical company, it responded to a national and international priority by providing critical medicine by affordable, at a very, very affordable price. The government of India has undertaken a number of programs which are focused on lessening the gap between urban and rural health care. Poor and non-poor health care. Notable among them are the National Rural Health Mission, the Ladli Yojana for education of the girl child, the midday meal program, reproductive and child yojana for provision of comprehensive health care to pregnant women. However, going forward for any effort towards the cause of providing equitable and comprehensive health care to be successful, it will be necessary to include the private sector to make them equal participants and stakeholders in the well-being of the people. The government of India is currently considering schemes where private hospital can avail subsidized land by committing to free treatment to the poor. Pharmaceutical companies have been made to commit to reasonable pricing for medicine for the poor by offering incentives such as government purchases, subsidies, and the tax reliefs, etc. Government of India is publicly dedicated to the cause of reducing emissions and maintaining per capita emission below the global average, and has also continually enlisted support of the private sector towards protecting the physical environment. While the government of India remains dedicated to the cause of ensuring the health and well-being of its citizen, it has to be acknowledged that its success depends on all components of society recognizing their individual roles to play for a truly sustainable and inclusive health sector. As a policymaker and as a decision maker, I would also like to flag the significance of the international platforms such as this and the additional partnerships it facilitates with the research community to highlight at global and subsequently at national level the evidence on the health impact of urbanization growth and development and the importance of mainstreaming social determinants of health into business. Now the need of the hour is to transform the philosophy of this platform into action. We must take this at the highest level. And since Canada is hosting next G20 summit in 2010, what better platform and opportunity can we have than to get the agenda of health and economic convergence discussed and driven through at the highest echelons of power. I sincerely hope that actions taken now will bring closer the day when population and atmospheric changes are neither rapid nor threatening. With sound population policies and new technologies, governments can make the reversal of world population and emission growth by the middle of the next century more likely. Thank you very much. Jai Hind, Jai Bharat. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions?
While we have a politician here, let's ask about how. What would you? Two questions for you. What is your advice or your piece of wisdom as we create this McGill World Platform for Health and Economic Convergence to try to to do more that is done currently with for those health problems that are woven into economy and that have long-term horizon. So what should be done differently so that politicians are a bit more compellingly looking at long-term benefits? That's one. And two, one of the objectives of this inaugural program is how to better harness the power of business as catalyst for getting on board the rest of society. Any words of wisdom to give us on there as well?
You see, well, I feel the utility of these platforms and to know the new, like, I would like to give one example. Technologies play a very important role. The business play a very important role. The technology of biometrics. Now, in my local body, where I have got more than 1.5 million employees, and 0.7 million employees are working only for the cleaning and sweeping of Delhi city. Now, you see their absenteeism. To control that, I introduced this in 2007. And I could really control that. I've been elected member for last 12 years. And we knew it that almost 40 to 45% of our employees, they are ghost employees. They don't come. They are our government employees, but they work with some private companies. And there was all, you know, wrong deeds going on. So we introduced the system. Now they have to give that thumb impression. So I feel by inviting the new technologies, like I'm doing it for the plasma technology, to take care of my garbage, because we've got those open landfill sites to get rid with them. We have to have a international partners. They have the technologies and we have a problem. At the same time, this can be converted into wealth. Because at the end result is the space, the health problem will be definitely taken care of because it's very hazardous, the people living around that area. So similarly, we have introduced a big international standard slaughterhouse. I used to have my slaughterhouse where lakhs of people used to live around that area. And you'll be surprised to know Delhi is a very old city and we are we have our own heritage and we are proud of the fact. But at the growth rate, at the population level, you see, we have a very intense problems too. So these slaughterhouse, because the number of people have increased, so number of demand for the meat has increased tremendously. So one could see that nearby area in the houses, the blood was flowing through the drains. And even after the intervention of our honorable court, things were not happening. But then we tried our best and we, outskirts of the city, we started a slaughterhouse. So this slaughterhouse is running with the help of our private partners. So the business is there, the problem has been solved, and so do. There are many things which we intend doing with the public-private partnership. So I feel the need of the hour is that we should be well informed. We, when I say we, I mean to say the policy makers, the so-called leaders. They should be well informed with the research which is going on, you know, like it's so enlightening. And at the same time, we should be informed with the technologies which we can utilize for our benefit. And at the same time, it should reach to the lowest level, the poor and the people who really should be the beneficiaries. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Thank you.